Previously on Podcast Without Pretense.
Welcome to the second episode of our Dungeons & Dragons adventure. You remember in our last one, Ayaz's paladin got syphilis.
If there's anything I hate about a television show is when they shoehorn a musical number in a show that has no business having that. But luckily, we're going to watch Fuller House.
But, I mean, I thought we were making t-shirts. I bought dye, not dice.
Yeah, we abandoned that whole D&D thing pretty quickly. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar.
I'm Eric Sandine.
Who has the cat?
Eric does.
I have a cat.
All right. And we have Eric's cat. Now, the highest rated podcast among cats in the Bay Area. Speaking of that, hey Eric, how are the fires?
It's smoky, actually, San Francisco. Yeah, it was pretty brown in San Francisco today. Yeah.
Yuck.
Sounds racist.
Okay. Does, but it was smoke.
Ayaz, come on, you're pretty brown all the time.
I know, that's what I said. It's not a bad thing to be brown all the time, unless, you know, you're in America. But anyway,
Ayaz is not pretty brown. He's pretty and brown.
Very true. You are a wordsmith, my friend.
I paint with words.
I guess you would a wordsmith like hammer them into shape?
They would, yes. A wordsmith would superheat words to white hot and then place them upon an anvil and just hammer the fucking shit out of them until they were fucking poetry.
Yeah, it's kind of like taking a roughly right piece of writing and then editing and editing and editing and editing, but white hot words from a pretty brown man.
I like to think I'm more of a word philanderer. I like to romance the words a little bit, give them a little slap and tickle, and then next thing you know, take them in the back alley and we just have a good old time.
Yep, that's the show today.
Yep, right.
That's what we're doing.
We're talking about family-friendly show Fuller House today.
That's not a joke. So last time I picked the first episode.
What was that? A lot of back alley fucking in that episode.
Okay. So last time I picked for the horrible contest that we do with this challenge we do. It's not a contest. I picked Fuller House Season 3, Episode 1. Now I have watched the first two seasons of Fuller House. I don't think these guys have. And the reason why I picked this as the content we would watch without distraction, or how long we can watch without distraction, was because at least it was short. It was one episode of a television show. So I remember with Three-Headed Shark Attack, at like 45 minutes, finding out there was another 45 minutes, I was just floored at how unnecessary this would be. But Fuller House can mess with time. So I was wrong about that one.
Yeah, not only can it mess with time, but I'm pretty sure I fucked up. I thought, all right, let me ask you the guys this. There was this whole fucking previously on kind of shit that played before I started watching the episode. Was that actually attached to the episode, or was that so it was?
I thought that was
Netflix.
It's Netflix. They do it the first time you play it. Because I had to rewatch the first like 10 minutes today to actually remember what the hell happened. And I didn't see it. And I have a note that was like, this is the longest previously on I've ever seen. And I press play today, no previously on.
So, gotcha. Yeah. I was wondering about that because I remember before I pushed play, it said I think it was 27 minutes long. And by the time the previously the on thing was over, I was like, how do they have time for an episode at this point? And turned out that did not count in that 27 minutes.
Okay, so Jonathan, how long did you make it before you either took a second screen on, talked to another person, had alcohol, which would put you in shock, or whatever?
I watched the whole goddamn thing.
Eric?
I also watched the whole thing. I didn't have a beard until I started episode 2.
I guess we should point out, Eric... Eric kept watching. He got into episode 3.
I didn't have anything else to do. I was just like, let's let this happen.
He's like, you know what? We're already watching the world burn. Might as well just keep it going with Fuller House.
Yeah. Luckily, it was during the workday when I was watching it. So at 6:16, I got a message, and I'm like, I'm going to check because that's Liz, and I know her message tone compared to everything else. I'm like, cool. But after that, I just sat there and watched this thing because, well, we'll get to it.
So I watched, for Fuller House, I watched some of the first season out of morbid curiosity when it first came out. And we talked about this, how the first episode of Fuller House is almost unwatchable. It is so cringeworthy, and they shoehorn in references to the original series every possible second, to the point where it's worse than a Family Guy episode. There are no jokes. It's just someone saying a catchphrase with no context, setup, or punchline. So yeah. It's just like, have mercy. How rude. And like, you're like, this is making no sense. And that first episode it's like a fever dream made by Satan. It is awful. The second episode is slightly less awful. The third episode, it kind of settles into it's just mediocre bullshit. And I think I got as far as maybe the fourth or fifth episode of that first season before I just stopped. I didn't watch any of season 2, which meant that literally half the characters in this episode, I had no fucking clue who the hell they were. I didn't know who either of the two guys were that CJ's interested in. I didn't know who... I think there was at least one kid I didn't know who it was. Anyway, it was just like there was enough people there. And there's also a character that's introduced halfway through the episode where it's someone that CJ clearly does not like. But I don't know if that's from the original series or if that came through in seasons 1 or 2 at some point. Okay, so
you're talking about
I was,
DJ, though, right? Because there's DJ and there's a CJ.
Oh shit! Then I mean DJ.
Yeah.
So DJ's Tanner, right?
Yeah, yes. But she's now DJ okay. Fuller. That's
right, 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 sure. right. Yeah, because she kept the last name of her dead husband.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so DJ Fuller, CJ. That's what I couldn't keep up. I didn't know who any of these people were. Nor did I really care. And the whole episode, as Ayaz has alluded to already, opens with one of the most painful musical numbers I have ever watched. I mean, I almost turned this off 5 seconds into that musical number, and then I thought, no, I have got to do this, and it might have been the most difficult thing I've ever had to do.
Yeah, so the show starts in a musical number. The child Max, I think his name is just excited that it's the first day of summer. So he gets out of bed, starts singing, and then everybody joins him because this is how it goes. So everyone sings, and this lasts for about 3 to 4 minutes, I think, of real time. And like in my head, it takes about an hour, but they sing
definitely at least 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay, let's pretty go well. With yeah. 5 minutes. And so we have them dancing in the backyard with people dressed up as Warner Brothers characters, Batman, there was Superman, Bugs Bunny was there. Because if you didn't notice, at the beginning of the show, with the Netflix show, it was like Warner Brothers. And like they threw it. And I had never seen that television logo before either. I've seen a lot of their other logos, but this one was white and loud. So
yeah.
Also, and so it turns out it was Max having a dream. But it truly
right.
is
and
the
then,
first
and then Max, who has nothing to do in this episode at all.
Right.
The only time he shows up, he ends up singing the beginning first day of summer before leaving the scene. And apart from one brief interaction with the weird caricature Spanish guy that the Gibbler is seeing. Apart from that one moment, he has nothing to do in this episode. So that's it for him. And thank God, because that kid, I cannot stand him.
You don't like Max, Eric? Do you have an opinion on Max since you watched the first 10 minutes of this show twice?
Pretty horrible. All the kids are horrible, really. But Max is the worst one out of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the baby's relatively funny. Has like two lines.
The baby's fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the baby is performing the same role as what the Olsen twins did in the original series, yeah. Right? Cute reaction shots from baby. Put the camera on the baby for 8 hours straight. Mm-hmm. Use until 12 seconds of footage.
Say kitty.
Yeah.
Say meow. This is hilarious.
So we get the big opening musical number, and it is legitimately embarrassing. Like, I felt badly for all of those actors. Also, some of the worst lip syncing ever. No idea how many of those people it was actually their voices or not, but it was pretty awful to watch. Then kid wakes up, realizes it's the first day of summer, tries to start up a big musical number again. No one goes for it because, haha, that's the joke. Let me just say, the thing I hate most, and I literally out loud said, I hate this at least a dozen times while I watch this show. I could not hold it back. The thing out of all the stuff I hate the most are the bullshit fake audience reactions to stuff. Because there are all these, like, it's pure 90s sitcom audience reactions. It's exactly what you saw in those goddamn early 90s sitcoms, where someone says something that has the cadence of a joke, right? Like, it has the cadence of a setup and the cadence of a punchline. Only it's missing that delicate component of the punchline actually being some sort of juxtaposition or weird take on the setup so that humor can be introduced into this equation. Instead, you really just get statement followed by other statement in the form of a joke, followed by uproarious fake laughter. And I hated it. I also hated whenever any person of the male gender comes onto screen for the first time, you got woo from, I mean, it was like, yeah, every stereotypical audience response. Like, if you ever watch an episode of Married with Children, it's that. Mm-hmm. It's the Married with Children audience of every time a character comes on screen for the first time, you get the big reaction. And every time you get something that sounds like it's supposed to be a joke but isn't, you get the big laughter. Every time anyone expresses any form of affection, however saccharine or insincere, you get the big, aw, kind of stuff. It was so fake and awful that I just wanted to set fire to more places in the Bay Area.
So my note about this is the studio audience, parentheses, if there is one, oohs and ahs at every guy and every show of affection. Because, like, all the guys all show up and they meet their girls at the table and they all, like, give a peck on the lips. And then it's just this, like Jonathan said, this extreme reaction to nothing. Like, you're here. Let's waste 30 seconds. So I guess this episode would have been about 5 minutes shorter if they, like, cut all the oohs and ahs. Easily 5 minutes.
Yeah, probably. And I know there were at least two or three moments in this show, because I'm going to hate on this a lot. I mean, I despised having to do this. I don't hate you, IS, but it's close. I hated a lot of what I was going through. However, I'm going to be fair. There were maybe two or three moments in the show where I felt like there was a legitimate joke that landed, and it was largely through the performances. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of people in this show who, despite giving total shit, like the most superficial stereotypical characters, can find a moment to genuinely do something funny, and I was surprised by it, and I actually chuckled like two or three times, but that was it. Most of it was just, I don't even blame the actors. They are working what they got, or probably following very specific direction.
Yeah, it's essentially what my notes have too. It's a lot of just lines and lines of this is bullshit and this is terrible. But when they did make me kind of chuckle or go, hey, that was actually kind of good, I wrote that down too because I wanted to be fair to this. If there's a shot that there's a good show in this, I want to see it, and it's not there. There's no reason to watch the show other than like maybe a minute and a half worth of clips per season, and you're fine. You're totally fine. Everything you need is right there because otherwise it's just bullshit.
I did notice that they, like, in that first season, or at least the first half of the first season, Stephanie was way more of a party girl kind of character, and she dressed a little more flirtily, like flirtatiously or whatever, and in this one, they seem to have really dialed that back quite a bit. She's still, there's like a joke or two about her kind of mooching off of her sister, but nothing nearly to the level of the first season, largely because that role has now been superseded by her love interest, Gibbler's brother, who for a while I thought might have been related to Ashton Kutcher because he looks enough like him where I'm like, does Ashton Kutcher have like brother or something? Is that who this is? It's not, but that's what I thought at first. And his character is infuriatingly annoying. And I think there might have been a moment or two with him where I thought it was entertaining, but for the most part, I just wanted him to buy and wires in the Bay Area.
I think most of the characters elicit that reaction. There's really not a lot of good ones in this episode. I'm trying to think of
the Spanish guy. The Spanish guy, despite the fact that the stereotype is insulting, seems to genuinely have kind of like that entertainer-performer kind of personality. And that I can respect as someone who does like over-the-top ridiculous entertainment. I can totally respect that he has that. I just don't think it works in the format of a television show like this. It sticks out.
Shall we continue with the plot? Because I think we're only at the first 5 minutes. Do you have anything else? Sure. Or like, you want me to go with my notes, which will take forever? Actually, it won't, because I actually get tired of writing.
Okay,
so I guess I'll go. Okay, so the plot of this episode is that Jackson, DJ's oldest, must attend summer school. 6:16, I get a message and I checked it. I'm very happy about that. Jackson got a D- in history and he's being sent back to school. DJ didn't bother to tell Jackson this on the previous day. She told him on the day that he was going to summer school along with a very special lunch, which actually sounded like a good lunch. Jackson tries to meet a girl at his school and she's got a purple hair streak. I bet she's going to be the tough girl who's too cool for anything. And then my next note is her name is Rocky, short for Roxanne. They introduce this teacher that actually turns out to be nobody. Now to the RV where Stephanie and the Gibbler boy live. They're in the Costco parking lot. Then a big, fat security guard tells them it's okay to stay there as long as they buy something from Costco. Guard grabs food on the way out to find his taser because he left it in a handicapped bathroom stall. Basically, like every stereotypical fat joke. They didn't say it out loud, but they showed you it, and I was like, okay, that's
yeah. Because he talks about how the handicap stall has more room, and that's why
he said it was cleaner.
It was cleaner. That's what he said, yeah.
But, and he doesn't say like, you know, one for the road or anything when he takes the food. But he just says food. But like the lazy, dumb, fat guy, as if I expected this show to be smart on any occasion. It just felt like a two broke girls kind of joke. Like it was really low. I'm like, that's really dumb.
Maybe it's one of those things where they like wrote in a placeholder for a joke and then just never bothered to fill it in.
He just grabs the food. Or maybe he was just like an extra that he's like, I'm going to give myself a line. All right. So Stephanie thinks Fernando. Okay. That's right. It's in the parking lot. And so Stephanie sees Fernando and she thinks that Fernando, Spanish guy, as Jonathan has called him, is cheating on Kimmy because they're like a couple sort of. Now Gibbler, the Gibbler boy, whose name I don't know and have watched 2 seasons of this show. I do not know his name. Gibbler will not tell his sister and avoids things because Stephanie's like, you know, we should have a conversation about this. But he walks around going la, 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 walking around, walking away. At the animal hospital, DJ is seducing Matt, her love interest. She wants to set the mood, but a playlist of kids' music plays. She changes the song and awkwardly dances. I will say the dancing part was pretty funny. As she says she's being sexy and she's not. It was actually very impressive. Yeah. That got me to laugh.
It was It was decent physical comedy. Yeah, I agree with you there, Ayaz.
How about you, Mr. Sandine? Are you just having flashbacks?
My general comment on this scene was, my God, the sets in this show are horrible.
Like, the RV is the worst one.
Scene, it was just bad. Like they, because they're supposed to be vets, right? And yeah, I don't know who thought to pick like a dungeon set as the vet office, and not only that, a poorly made dungeon set. It was yeah.
I guess they had to spend all the big money on the talent. Back to the Fuller House. DJ picked up Jackson's favorite pizza, and I write, pizza would be nice right now, which I did not have for lunch. Jackson came in with his head covered by a hood. He stands up straight, and you can see he is painted as a cat for some reason. He fell asleep in class, and Rocky painted his face. Rocky is now at the house to apologize because the principal said she had to. She also apologized for drawing a tulip on the small of his back. Now, Rocky's mom is Gia. This is some knowledge that I will impart to Jonathan, which doesn't happen very often. This is DJ's old high school friend from the original series. They were playing in a band together. She became a bad influence, and they split apart. Okay, so Gia looks almost exactly the same after 20 years. She ages like Aunt Becky, which is really bizarre. She looks exactly the same, but she's supposed to be an adult, which does not read right at all. Jackson says he's not going back to summer school. DJ and Jackson talk it over, and DJ says it's Jackson's decision. The kid is smart enough to know it's not really his decision, which turns out to be the next joke, which I didn't realize was going to happen until after I typed it. And here we go with Fernando and Kimmy. You know where this is going. Fernando really is cheating on Kimmy with the woman he actually brought to the Fuller House. Fernando then announces he's going to have a surprise wedding right then and there. Kimmy is crushed, and everyone in the audience says, "Aw."
Then Kimmy leaves the room, comes back in, has a gun. Kimmy says, "You did this." You puts it to her temple, blows her brains out, which admittedly does not cover much material because it's Kimmy Gibbler.
I avoided this fan fiction because of recent events. But no, here's what actually happens. Fernando brings the women in. Kimmy thinks Fernando's cheating. It's a sitcom, so Fernando says he loves this other woman out loud. She turns out to be the realtor. Because he bought a house for them. Fernando bought Gibbler the house next door, which was Gibbler's old house. Some more shit happens. That's what my line actually says here, because I didn't care. Fernando and Kimmy do a that's good, that's bad bit. Kimmy says she's not going with Fernando. Fernando says he won't leave the house without a Gibbler in his arm. The Gibbler guy jumps into his arm, which kind of made me laugh because they kind of held it for a while. Now we've got the heart-to-heart with Matt and DJ. Matt tells DJ that he loves her. She says it back. Oh, somewhere in this episode, Steve says he's going to marry CJ, his DJ replacement in Japan, I think. Verdict, while stupid and not funny, at least it was short, which also I think could be a new tagline for PWP. Kind of.
Yeah, stupid and not funny, at least it was short.
Yeah, it's just a nugget.
Podcast without pretense, not as long as other podcasts.
Not as stupid or not as not funny as Fuller House. That's all we could say. Slightly better than Fuller House.
Yeah. Actually, I think
we're better than that.
Oh, we didn't talk about, did they, there weren't any other former cats or adults from the original series in this one. Those all just appeared in the previously on section, right?
Yeah, if I remember right, and I heard you through that Skypiness, no other previous cast members other than Gia show up. And even her, she was like, "What?" Well, I didn't even know her character's name. I assume that's what she said. I didn't even have captions on because I was trying to pay attention.
This was dreadful. This was a terrible, terrible thing to watch.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better. It doesn't.
So wait, Eric, you saw more than this.
You
gotta fill us in. What happens after this episode?
Oh Christ!
Honestly,
does he?
They just get progressively worse. Like that's why I had to watch the first 10 minutes of this one again because they all just blended together. I was just like, wait, what happened to the first episode? Because I have no idea. I don't know. Max, that was the annoying kid. Yeah, he just gets worse for two episodes. He just gets more annoying. I didn't take notes on the new ones, did I?
I'm just curious about this plot line, because as far as I know, the whole plot is about getting all of the family to Japan for the wedding. That's right. All I know, because I'm still scrubbing through the episodes and just like not scrubbing through, going through the episodes, seeing they're on a plane now.
Kimmy definitely gets them to get her to be the wedding planner. Was that in the first episode? It might have been.
Kimmy is a wedding planner, but she was not announced as a wedding planner.
But she wasn't going to be because it was in Japan. And so they were going to pick a Japanese one. This was a whole plot line in maybe episode two.
It could have been in one and I zonked out. Just kind of like just sitting there going.
Yeah. I don't know. That's like roughly all I remember. And I remember like one of my notes on like episode three was Max is just, what are we doing with this kid? He's a horrible, unlikable character.
Are there anybody that doesn't fit that? I think DJ is the least horrible one of them all. Is that safe?
She is, but she's so fucking wishy-washy, right? Like she's so, the fact that she avoids telling her own son because she doesn't want him to hate her, it's just so pathetic, right? Like she comes across as such a milquetoast, you know, character. Stephanie was the one who made me the least upset in this episode, but then she didn't have a whole lot to do. The worst part for her was a joke that makes no sense. So Kimmy is convinced because Stephanie said she saw Fernando? She saw him talking with the woman who had two huge coffees and was convinced that they were seeing each other. So Kimmy takes a lemonade, throws it in Fernando's face, then throws another one in the realtor's face. Then they, of course, realize that there was no hanky-panky going on. It was a realtor. So then Stephanie throws lemonade in her own face. You know, she's like, don't worry, I got this. And she throws it in her own face because she's the one who caused all this. And then she says, how rude to something she had done to herself. It's literally one of the instances where it's not really a joke because the joke doesn't really work. It's just a reference to something she used to say all the time on the old show, but it doesn't really make sense in the context that it's in. And it gets the huge, fake, awful audience laugh. So it had all the elements that I despised in that one moment. So that was not great. But for the rest of it, Stephanie was largely, she flew under the radar for me in this episode.
Yes. So for
Kimmy's daughter, she was fine.
She was like insipid. I thought she wanted like to take the kid, her mother's credit card. She was saying the mother's embarrassing. She doesn't want to hang out with her. She's like that the whole first season and second season. She's just this, she's a self-centered kid.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Kids are self-centered. So
she's one of my notes. Is goth still a thing? that's my one note about her.
That's Roxy. That's somebody different.
Oh, wait. I mean, was that her friend? Or
Rocky's got the purple hair. And I think.
Yeah.
No, and then there's Ramona. I think her name is, or it doesn't really matter. Her
maybe
name
she's so all the events. She's pretty good. Like she's out of all the kid actors, I feel like she might have the most solid performance. She's out of the ones that I've seen.
Low bar.
No, no joke. It's a low bar, but I think she does the best out of all of them so far.
And also, when Jonathan was explaining the whole lemonade scene, in my notes, if you're wondering, why didn't I as mention this? That's when I said, some more shit happens. Because that's exactly what it was. I'm like, I'm not going back. I'm not writing this down. The lemonade bit was just, it was like, have you ever seen a sitcom in the 80s and the 70s? Yeah. Well, you can write for us. But you also need to know references to Full House. Okay. Just go for it.
But listen, we don't have a whole lot of time for jokes. So if you could just write a bunch of setups followed by references from the previous seasons of Full House, that would be great. What about like if I were to write something where there's a setup and then something unexpected? No, too complicated. you will confuse our brain dead audience.
And that was my.
We don't want to scare or anger them.
I did have to. DJ was making a joke sometime in the beginning of the episode about the guy she works with, whose name I didn't write any of it down. I don't.
Matt.
Care.
Max.
Matt. Whatever.
Max is the kid. That's right.
Oh right, right. And the joke was, you know, she had a dream about him last night, and they were doing laundry, if you know what I mean. And of course, everybody looked at her, and she said, "What? We were doing laundry?" And I'm like, "That why?" Like that right there made me want to like go slap a writer for this show. Like completely unnecessary. Just like, come on.
It reminds me a little bit. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ayaz.
If that was something that she did throughout the whole new series, I think that'd be funny. Like if she always like, if you know what I mean. And then she's just like, sure. No, I mean that literally. I always mix those two up. That would be fine. That was a character
That's
thing.
Funny.
I don't think it is. Sure. But
right.
If that were
her thing where she says something that sounds like it could potentially be suggestive in the G-rated way that this show is, if it seemed like that was the way it was going, and then it turns out that no, she literally means what she said, and she just doesn't know what the "if you know what I mean" phrase really implies, that would be so much better of a character trait than saying, "Oh my Lanta."
Oh.
Yeah. That's still her catchphrase. At least they had a dog in it. That was nice.
Yeah.
Was there a dog?
He was in the musical sequence with the baby. Not Comet the Ghost. Comet the Ghost, I think, is in episode 12, which is coming out later in December. And by the way, I want it known that the entirety of Full House, the 90s show, and a whole bunch of shitty TGIF shows are available right now on Hulu. So we can watch some of those and go, what the fuck is going on with the final episode of Family Matters?
I don't have a subscription to Hulu, so I'm going to have to sit this one out.
It's like there's a $5 trial.
Yeah, you just watch Wings. I am not paying $5 so that I can watch other shitty stuff. Television I hated back then.
The fact that that's shitty is irrelevant. There's other stuff to watch. But anyway, this ain't an ad for
There's
Hulu.
There's also other stuff on Netflix and Amazon. I mean,
I wanted to see. I'm not kidding about this. So I kind of want to watch the older ones to see, were they as bad as the crap that we're watching right now? Because it was schmaltzy and shitty then. But like, was it as bad? Because it was quite popular and did really well, but I'm sure it doesn't hold up.
The question is, the genuine article, when it was made, is it as bad as the stuff they're making now where they're trying to replicate that feeling back then? Like, is the process of replicating the original show actually making it worse? That's an excellent question that I think some other person should investigate, but not me.
Yeah, I'm just trying to pawn it off to anybody. So if you're watching this and you're like, hey, I want to check, let us know at PWP Show on Twitter. And you can tell us in 140 characters or 280, I guess now, if you have that little workaround.
Just to clarify, I mean, Ayaz isn't sending you a check. He's just, if you want to look into it, not...
Yeah, there will be no payment of any kind other than... me saying thank you, and that's already it. So it's already out. So you've already received it. So
I can tell you that. I can tell you that the times when I've gone back and watched some of these shows, particularly shows from the 90s, none of them have held up as well as I would like. Like I watched Star Trek: The Next Generation, and I made it almost all the way through. I think I got all the way up to the last season. I don't think I finished it, and I think that show was not nearly as good as we thought it was when it first came out. There's like a handful of episodes that I feel still hold up pretty well, even considering the limitations with like television budgets and the special effects and everything, in a show that was very much dependent upon science fiction tropes and various science fiction style special effects. But there are so many episodes that are just genuinely awful in Star Trek The Next Generation, especially in the very beginning and the very last season. There are some that are almost impossible to watch. There's one where Dr. Beverly Crusher discovers her grandmother's sex diary, and then she and Deanna Troi get hot and bothered reading passages of it out to each other. Then she goes and bones a ghost that also boned her grandmother.
Yes, that's an episode.
What was the title of that
episode? Well, I mean, there's that one episode where Stephanie was boning ghosts left and right. What's that? What's that, Eric?
You would like to know the episode title.
You could recall the title of that episode.
It's got to be either the last season or the second to last season. You know what? I got to look it up now.
At PWP Show on Twitter. Let us know when.
Beverly Crusher Bones Ghost.
A ghost? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I hope that's the title. That would be great. That'd be a great title for an episode of Star Trek Next Generation. Beverly Crusher Bones a Ghost.
It's a good PWP title, that's for sure.
It is Sub Rosa. Oddly enough, typing in the phrase Beverly Crusher Bones a Ghost pulls up the actual name of the episode. Which is Sub Rosa.
Maybe that's the title of today's episode.
Rosa. What, Sub Rosa or Beverly Crusher Bones a Ghost?
I think Sub Rosa is a little bit more inside, but Beverly Crusher Bones a Ghost says nothing.
Well, I mean, it's good because, listen, result number one is going to be the Star Trek episode. Result number two, maybe PWP Show.
You're right. This is the best SEO move we've ever done. So we're like, hey, listen, guys, if you really want to watch our episode about when we reviewed Fuller House, type in this phrase, Beverly Crusher Bones a Ghost. It's going to show up. It's right there.
And it is one of the most horrible episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. Actually, there were several ways I could tell immediately if I was going to hate an episode, and it all depended upon which secondary character was going to get the B plot of that episode, right? Because there's an A plot and a B plot to every Star Trek episode. They're all formulaic. The A plot is whatever massive crisis the Enterprise is in for that week. And the B plot is some sort of personal journey for one of the secondary characters. And if it was a B plot with Deanna Troi, I was out. If it was a B plot for Worf, it was pretty touch and go, because there were a whole lot of Klingon episodes that just got boring as shit. But Troi or Worf, I was pretty... Troi, I was definitely out. Worf, I was probably out. And Crusher was... Not, I mean, come on, reading your grandma's sex diary and then boning a ghost is not good TV, but better than Fuller House.
To be fair, that's not her like consistent storyline throughout the series. Okay, if you're wondering, Beverly Crusher
she
does
bones
throughout
a werewolf in season three, she bones like some druids in season four. It's all about boning different mythological and characters.
There's a boning bones joke in there somewhere. I don't have it.
That's first season. That's first season.
I'm aware.
DeForest Kelly is in that first episode.
Don't do the thing. Time travel. Yeah,
very first episode.
Fine. She can bone the ghost of Bones. You happy about that?
No, it doesn't have to be the ghost. He's still alive in that first episode. Bones shows up at the Starship Enterprise in the very first episode. Encounter at Farpoint Station.
Okay. I just misheard you. Okay. That's good to know. That's not the pilot episode, right? Or pilot plot.
It's the two-parter. It's the two-parter episode that started the whole series.
I mean, she doesn't bone Bones in the pilot, right? That's what I'm getting.
No, she bones him in 10 forward. I mean, you wouldn't bone Bones over in the bridge. You'd have to do it in like the bar.
And this is the wordsmith who likes to give the words a slap. Yeah. He's doing it right now. There's a lot of slapping and a lot of tickling of words today.
Yeah, that's right. And we're all in the back alley just having a good old time.
Yep. So, Jonathan, what are we watching next?
We're watching Hashtag Horror next.
Wait a minute. I think I might have watched that.
Shit. Ayaz, really?
Wait, hang on.
Is it just, is it actually a pound symbol? Is the thing?
No, you know, I did try to watch it. I couldn't watch it because I was like, this sucks. And I stopped watching it. So if you want to pick it, it's fine. I have no notes on it because it was like, I wanted to watch a horror movie. And then this showed up. And then I was like, I'll try it. And then I said, no, because this is a pile of shit. So I'm really glad to know.
Without pretense.
If I couldn't watch it with a computer already, I'm doomed. I will try my best to not second screen it or have alcohol with it or a second person.
Well, you only got 6 minutes. Did you watch it, Eric?
No, I haven't.
Okay. My challenge to you, Eric, and myself, the challenge I have for both of us is that we have to watch more of this than both uninterrupted than we did a Fuller House.
That's right.
We need to get at least 28 minutes in
before opening up
a second screen. Yeah.
You watched the previously on plus the episode.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. 35 minutes. You have to get 35 minutes in.
Nobody's going to get 35 minutes into this.
I don't think I will.
Here's the description of hashtag horror. It should be called slash tag. Okay. That comes up there. Sorry. Privileged tweenage. I didn't get there. As privileged tweenage bullies get a taste of real life terror when their online antics lead to a sinister game of slash tag. So I guess if you're doing a podcast, you're not paying attention, you can come up with movie descriptions that are clever or just bad. Whoa. This can't be good.
So that I wanted to watch a horror movie because it's, you know, Halloween month. So that's the one I picked.
Yay. Also, I picked Fuller House.
I watched all the good ones.
In case I needed to watch it at work, probably family friendly. Good shot of not just not like three-headed shark attack where like there's all the skinny dipping happening and you're like
only in the first
stop or
the first 6 minutes though. There's only boobs in the first 6 minutes and then it's just blood.
Maybe my brain was pre-programmed. Nothing gets better after 6 minutes after that. Like nothing ever does.
I still don't understand that movie, Ayaz. I don't understand. Why would you put all the nudity in the first 6 minutes?
It's because
when
you've
got like an hour.
There'll be more. There must be more. And then they're like, nah, not really. You're going to keep watching this pile of shit.
I don't remember if I said this. In fact, I don't think I did say this because I think my connection dropped out before I made the note. But something that occurs to me now, I hate to go back to fucking three-headed shark attack, but it's still more interesting to talk about than Fuller House. I noticed that there were moments where it sounded like they dropped, at least on mine, it sounded like they dropped some words, like they dropped some curse words, like it just, the sound drops out in three-headed shark attack. Like they might say like, what the fuck is that? Except it goes, what the is that? Right? Like it sounded like they dropped the audio and I'm like, what world are we in where they're showing boobs three times, three different women's boobs in the first 6 minutes? People are getting bitten in half by an enormous shark, but you can't say fuck.
Well, this movie in particular, I would think that this film, maybe we had the unrated cut. So there probably was a TV cut because this was on, I think someone, it was on Sci-Fi. So maybe
it was at least
TV
produced
cut.
By Sci-Fi.
Plus, we got this extra. Here's your bonus feature parts, and they just shoved them into the movie. This sounded way worse out loud. Bonus parts shoved into the movie. Anyway,
in a back alley.
In a back alley. While you're
that's
smithing.
A euphemism.
It is now.
Right in the back alley.
Okay.
Smithing some words.
I don't think it's possible to top anything we've done right now. So we have to stop. We got to look into the future. Unless anybody else wants to talk about hashtag horror or convince Jonathan to get us out of this movie, because this movie is an hour 37 minutes long. So 97 minutes.
I didn't. At least I didn't pick like a 3 or 4 hour film. I could have done that.
Oh, that would not work at all. Because I'd be like, oh, I see that. How long did you go? Zero. I didn't watch any of it. I left it on. I walked away. I came back.
I gave both of you assholes a freebie for the last one.
You know what, though? Yeah, right? I did
you know
try
what? You
to watch,
to watch
that.
My last pick, 0 minutes.
Zombies, right? Yeah. I think it was called. I tried to watch that.
Yeah. Yes.
I was like, you know, yeah. I felt bad about not watching it. And then I watched it the first 3 minutes, and I was like, no, I don't feel bad about not watching this at all because this is awful.
Yeah, no, I got much further, and I got to the point, like, I took notes and everything, and then I was like, yeah, this is just not worth even talking about, you know? Like, there wasn't any, yeah, no, I'm not even going to do it any justice. It's not worth talking about. It's not so bad it's good. It's not funny. It's just mediocre pieces of shit, like all Asylum films. Don't watch Asylum's movies. They are bad. Stop doing it.
Wait a minute. There were a couple that were good. Titanic 2 was great, okay? It's terrible, but it's great. Transmorphers is such a pile of shit that it's so cheaply produced that, like, it's actually fun to watch. Then they realized what they were doing, and they were like, ah, fuck it. So they had, like, a little bit higher budget, and they tried to make them – like, they became self-aware. Same, this the replication problem, right? They're like, we want to keep doing what we were doing, and then they started to suck. Because I'm telling you that the first stuff
well,
they had,
it's because they were bad. Starting to try. They were trying to do on purpose what they had done by accident, like through incompetence. They were trying to purposefully replicate that, and the problem was that if you're trying to replicate incompetence, it just comes across as cynical and not worth seeing. I'm trying to remember how many Asylum movies we've seen. No.
I think we watched Nazis at the God. Oh, did I just watch that one on my own? That one was okay.
Which one was it?
Nazis at the Center of the Earth?
That's no, you. I watched Transmorphers on my own. I did not do it for the show. Yeah. I think I got it like at a Blockbuster. Like that's how old and how long they've been around. This is a long time ago.
Jesus, I'm just looking at the various names for Asylum films. And there's so many that are just such blatant ripoffs of other this. I mean, Asylum movies are essentially like porn parodies without the porn, right?
Yeah. Well,
like you, the idea like was Romance in the Bone and that kind of shit.
You would go to a video store and you'd be like, "Hey, is the Sherlock Holmes movie out yet?" And they're like, "No, but we do have this." And they actually would have a Sherlock Holmes movie by Asylum. And there's a Transformers movie out? No, but we do have Transmorphers. So you literally like would be taking advantage of people who weren't really paying attention. You're like, yeah, I'll take that.
Right.
And that was their goal. So and they were successful at that.
Let me give you some names of some movies from Asylum that just show what shithole people these are, where they would make these cheap ass movies in the hopes of tricking people into buying them. And never worry about whether or not the movies are actually entertaining at all. It's the most cynical bullshit thing. So you've got Almighty Thor, The Da Vinci Treasure. You've got The Day the Earth Stopped. Not The Day the Earth Stood Still, but The Day the Earth. I just like The Day the Earth Stopped because it doesn't necessarily mean that the Earth has stopped moving. It just stopped, period. That is the day the earth stopped. How about Sunday School Musical instead of High School Musical? Let's see. There's the Sherlock Holmes one you were talking about. The Terminators, that was one that we watched.
Yeah,
we did. Paranormal Entity. There's Atlantic Rim instead of Pacific Rim.
I think they got sued for that one.
Well, you sit there and you think, like, that doesn't even make sense. There isn't an Atlantic Rim. The Pacific Rim is specifically about a geographical feature. There's Halloween Night, Age of the Hobbits, Death Racers, which we've also seen.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking to see if there's any other ones that we've actually watched. I want to say there were a couple of others that we've watched for this show, but
didn't
I can't
they do
remember
that Avengers
what they
one?
Were.
Something Avengers. It was like Grimm's Avengers
probably.
Or something weird.
I'm still.
I think that was them.
Oh, yeah. The one that was. No, we didn't watch Almighty Thor. They might have done the one you're thinking about. The one where it was like all the fairy tale characters that moved over into our world and it was a real bullshit piece of shit movie.
Avengers Grimm. Yeah. That's what it's called. I don't know if that's them, though. It is Asylum. There it is. This is literally written by the Asylum. That's their credit. On IMDb. Oh,
that's
not like
it sounds to me like they just have like a random screenplay generator that's just churning shit out, and they're like, here's another one, and we are of course obligated, having sold our souls to Satan so many years ago, to make this piece of shit movie.
I'm pretty sure the best one out of all of these is Independence Day, which is named Independent as in independent and not Independence with the CE. It's just Independence with an apostrophe S, which is kind of amazing. Like, there's, well done,
Troy, guys. The Odyssey.
They did Sharknado as well, right?
Yes, they did all the Sharknados. Operation Dunkirk. Cargo, so a cheap attempt at making a Cars-style movie with Ed Asner, Melissa Joan Hart, and Haley Joel Osment providing voices.
That's
they probably
good,
all were
actually.
Like, I can't believe we're going to be in a Pixar movie.
Wait. It doesn't say how long they're in the movie. They could be like, oh, and then a sneeze. Like, you have no idea how long they're in the film.
It could literally be like, I could just imagine Haley Joel Osment's VO recording session for Cargo, the Pixar ripoff. He just comes in, stands next to the mic and goes, vroom, 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 vroom. All right, we're good. I'm out. there's a King Arthur movie that looks like it's a piece of shit. Ocean's Rising, I Hope You Can Swim. Elvis Lives, Ice Sharks. They've really got a hard-on for sharks over at Asylum.
Journey to the Center of the Earth, that's a popular title. War of the Worlds 2, The Next Wave, The Land That Time Forgot. Number One Cheerleader Camp, 18-Year-Old Virgin. The Terminators, there it is. There's Transmorphers, Fall of Man. Oh, yeah. There was a sequel to Transmorphers, Get Out of Town.
Little Dead Rotting Hood, which I've seen on Netflix, but have not actually watched it.
Wait, Titanic 2 was 2010? That's surprising because it was really good. I don't care what anybody says. It's a pile of garbage, but it's very good. The Seven Adventures of Sinbad, Moby Dick, MILF, the movie. I'm adding the movie part. This is MILF. 2012, Ice Age, The Amityville Haunting.
Okay, wait. This might be the best title I've ever seen right here. The Coed and the Zombie Stoner. I mean, that's just a great title. The Coed and the... Not as far as I can tell. It's just the Coed and the Zombie Stoner.
That's how I used to pick watching a movie. Just
Sex, Drugs, and the Walking Dead is the little tagline. Dean Cain and Robin Givens in Airplane versus Volcano, based on the true story. You watched it?
Oh, yeah. I watched that.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Dean Cain and Robin Givens.
You're part of the problem.
No, wait a minute. Sometimes they go out of their way to get somebody. This is also why you still like Lifetime movies. They're like, you want to fight against your type? Yeah, I don't want to be typecast as this guy anymore. So they try to do something different. And then it's just so terrible. And it's so just poorly thought out that, like, this will help my career. Or they're like, I just want a boat. Okay? Or
they got,
like,
they've got Leah Thompson in one of these. Thompson was in one of these movies.
Well, she did do Caroline in the City, so.
Yeah, but Caroline, I kind of liked Caroline in the City.
Watch it again. Let's see if it holds up. That was a 90s show, wasn't it?
You know, probably doesn't, but yeah, I liked that one. And what was the one that had Jamie Lee Curtis in it? There was a sitcom.
Television show? New Girl?
Yeah. What's that?
She was in New Girl.
No. Back around the 90s. And gosh, what was the, I can't remember the comedian's name. He's the guy who's always talking like this, always making these big gestures with his hand, and he's very neurotic, and
Richard Lewis?
Yeah, also, is that him? Yeah, Richard Lewis. It was Richard Lewis and Jamie Lee Curtis.
I could be making in that a show. Up. I don't remember.
Well, it was, you know who I'm talking about. He played King Richard in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
That is Richard Lewis.
Not King Richard. Lewis. King. Yeah.
I didn't know they had a TV show.
Not King Richard, but Prince John. But yeah, no, they had a TV show that was great. It was very cute. It was in the 90s. I can't remember what it was called now. Now I'm going to have to look that up because now I got to know.
You sure? Okay, Jamie Lee Curtis. At least it's auto-filming that in here. We're brought to you by Anything But Love. It was a sitcom.
Anything But Love. It's a great show.
Oh, yeah.
Great show.
I forgot that existed.
What it was a good show.
1992 is season four. So this is 89 and 92. Okay. Not 92. What was this? Did they switch it?
Like TV.com gave it 6.7 out of 10, but I remember loving that show. So fuck you, TV.com.
Okay. I think that's where we got to cut it off. Because that's perfect.
All right.
All right. Next time on Podcast Without Pretense.
Fuck you, IMDb.
Look, it's only been 1 minute. We can't cut it off there. We got to wait.
I mean, I figured I have enough beer. I could finish at least half of Asylum's catalog. It wasn't enough beer.